Hi, everyone. Welcome to Ancient Warfare Answers with me, Murray. I'm alone again. So it's Murray's Ancient Warfare Answers, your 10-minute fix of ancient military history, a weekly event, I hope, for all of you. And I'm going to be answering a question by someone named Andrew, who sent through an email in a minute. But of course, you can ask us a question. You can either back us on Patreon. There are three levels. You can be a legionary, an optio, or a centurion. And if you are at the top level, you can get a print copy of the magazine, Ancient Warfare, or an optio, you get a digital copy. And of course, you can also just back us as a legionary. And you can ask us your own military question, and we'll see whether we have the nous to answer it. Now, today, we've got Andrew's question, which is, why did generals write back to the Senate what they had done? Was that account trustworthy, and how can we tell? So, the first thing, of course, is when you're looking at the generals in the Republic, and then, of course, the generals who were representing the emperor under the empire, the writing back to the Senate, or the emperor in some cases, would, of course, be required. That you report on what you're up to. The second thing is, of course, that when you have an emperor or a Julius Caesar being the most famous example, writing back, they're telling everyone and touting what they've been up to. So obviously the commentary of Julius Caesar, the Gallic Wars and the Civil Wars are the most famous example of a consul or an ex-consul writing back about what they'd been achieving. A proconsul, obviously, in Gaul in the 50s BC. Caesar is writing about himself in the third person, so it looks like it is official, but it very much is a report on what he's doing from his own perspective, telling his version of events. And certainly when it comes to the civil wars, we think that that's even more the case, that he's justifying his actions in the civil wars, where, again, he also has fictional additional authors who are him. Julius Caesar is very much guilty of bending the facts to his advantage. Of course, the problem with those is we don't have any alternatives, really, and any subsequent writers were very much writing based on Caesar. Nor do we believe that Caesar was writing bare bones to be fleshed out by historians later, which is one of the claims, because, of course, what he's written is hardly fleshable because it's already fully formed. Now, other commentarii are really quite fragmentary in the sense that we might get them mentioned, but we don't have any of them surviving unless they were being used by subsequent historians. If that was the case, often even though subsequent historians don't survive, so we don't really have much. So, for instance, we know that Pompey wrote a breviarium about what he was doing in the East. Now, the interesting thing there is he doesn't use the word commentari. He uses the word breviarium, which is a brief history. That's tricky. Is that the same as what Caesar's doing? We have, of course, Augustus giving us a summary total breviarium of what the situation in the empire was in his res gestae. But again, that's his version of events is what's going on. Later in the Roman Empire, we have examples of what we think are generals writing back to the Senate or the emperor and, you know, advising on what they've been up to. In some cases, they may well have been suppressed or gave such a bad impression that the commander in general lost their position. Or in the case of someone like Domitius Corbulo was writing back to the Senate about their successes to the point that Nero got so jealous that required him to fall on his sword. And of course, one of the amazing things about Domitius Corbulo is he did fall on his sword as requested. But we think that, you know, Tacitus's later account of the Parthian campaigns of Corbulo must have been based on what Domitius Corbulo wrote back to the Senate. So even though those are fragmentary, there seems to be detail in Tacitus's account that really must have come from an eyewitness in that regard. So there would probably be the whole range of authors writing back a report on what they've been up to, in the sense that some would be just the facts. This is what's happening. You know, here's the reports. Here's the accounts. Others would, of course, embellish them to make themselves look good, or perhaps even not make themselves look good, you know, do enough not to get noticed and not to get fired, very similar to the corporate world to this day. And then we do have, again, very fragmentary example of what Lucius Verus and Marcus Aurelius were doing in the 170s, 160s and 170s. So we have for Lucius Verus a letter to Fronto where he's asking Fronto to write up what he's achieved in the Parthian War. Now, generally, of course, people believe that Lucius Verus didn't do a lot during the Parthian War, that he was using his generals, such as Avidius Cassius, to do all the commanding for him. And one of the things that Lucius Verus says to Fronto is, you will, of course, take into account and incorporate all of my reports back to the Senate, you know, and then gives him advice about, you know, how to show him off in the best possible light, as if Fronto didn't know. So that's interesting in the sense that it shows that there were some reports back. And we've got those for other emperors on campaign as well. And again, with Marcus Aurelius, we have this idea that Marcus Aurelius is writing back to the Senate and that he's not doing anything without the approval of the Senate, even, you know, being acclaimed imperator, he's writing back to the Senate to make sure they approve. So there is, does seem to be this quite rigorous reporting system, just none of it survives. And the interesting thing there, of course, is that with Lucius Verus, you've got this idea that he's not at the front, not commanding armies, that when he's with the army, he's not really with the army, because he's technically a bad emperor. Because, of course, Marcus Aurelius, his brother, is the good emperor, who, when he's at the front, is in the front line. We have a couple of accounts of Marcus Aurelius being in the front lines. And it's like, but hang on, we believe it for Marcus Aurelius that he's at the front, with the front. We don't believe it for Lucius Verus. Again, with Trajan, he's at the front. He's definitely at the front. He's definitely doing it, even though he has subordinate generals too, as does Marcus Aurelius. Domitian, on the other hand, no, Domitian wasn't at the front. He says he's at the front, but he's not really. So we have this really peculiar situation with whether we think an emperor is a good emperor or a bad emperor. When we're told a bad emperor is at the front with the troops, we ignore it or we deny it and we look for reasons to say that that wasn't really what was happening. When it's a good emperor at the front, we completely accept it and we, you know, to the point that we will say that they were commanding the troops themselves, not just using subordinates, which is incredibly unfair because we have the same evidence for both, but based on whether we consider the emperor to be a bad emperor or a good emperor is whether or not they were at the front actually doing things. And that's problematic. And I think the reality is that all the emperors who commanded in person, and actually there are few of them, certainly in the first two centuries, there are a lot who don't command in person rather than who do. You can add Claudius, that, you know, Claudius went with the army, but it's kind of denigrated too. Well, yeah, but he was only there 2 weeks. He didn't do anything of import. Whereas probably all of those emperors and even their subordinate commanders were writing back to the emperor or to the Senate to tell them what they had been doing. And depending on the structure of the government at the time and, you know, how risky it was for you to tell the truth and give an accurate update of what was actually happening probably tells you what sort of reporting it would be. On the one hand, we have the letters of Pliny as governor of Bithynia to Trajan, which are intricate and detailed. And some people say that that's the model that every governor would have been sending back to the emperor. Or Pliny's an exception. He, you know, is verbose and he's writing far more than most emperors would have even bothered to communicate to their emperor. So you've got those two ideas. Probably the reality is somewhere in between. You probably couldn't have had silence. If you said nothing, wrote nothing, chances are someone else on your governing staff would have been writing back to the emperor or the Senate, telling them what you've been up to, especially if they're after your job. And we have evidence of that from, there are bits of evidence that are tantalizing and suggest that, you know, someone's getting bad-mouthed and then they get booted off their job and then they get reinstated when they've, you know, had a chance to show that that was false. Tedious Julianus in the 70, for instance. And then later, one of my favorites, or I haven't got time. Tantalizing. When you look at the post of, the Magister Memoriae, in the mid fourth century, you've got Festus of Tridentum and Eutropius, and, Eutropius gets kicked out of the job, replaced by Festus. Eutropius gets another job as proconsul Asiae, and then gets kicked out of the job and replaced by Festus. So you're like, hang on a minute. So this guy follows this other guy two jobs in a row and seems to badmouth him. We have evidence that there's badmouthing going on. So I think the reality is that the writing back to the Senate of what's being done and what's, you know, progress reports and accounts is very common. None of it survives really, except for Caesar. Was that account trustworthy? Again, up to you. Even modern historians will accept some, reject others without really any differentiation between why, except, oh, well, I don't think they're a good emperor. I think they are a good emperor. So, you know, if you start to assess the material on its merits, I think you're probably going to find that there are more reports than we think. But we do have to accept that the bad emperors were actually in command at the front with their armies, or we have to reject that the good emperors were in command at the front with their armies. They're either working through subordinates, or they're there in person, or both. Not one set are there and one set aren't. See you next time.